Nice to see everybody here today. The title of my split sermon here today is Without Faith, It is Impossible to Please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're going to start in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Talking about Enoch here. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the author of Hebrews writes, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Despite this plain statement, many through the ages have attempted to do so through mere religiosity. Cain is the Bible's first example of this. Nothing in Scripture indicates that he was not religious. Genesis 4:3 shows that he and Abel met with God at a set time, giving a sense of an occasion previously appointed and agreed upon. Cain is the type of the typical worldly religious person. He has God somewhat in mind, but he does not believe God. Really means what he says. He chooses what he will believe, revealing the major unbridgeable gaps in his faith. We're going to look at 13 biblical statements on faith's importance. All of them apply during the sanctification period of a Christian's life. We'll start in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2 says that faith gains a person acceptance before God. So let's begin in verse 1 of Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now let's look at Romans 4, verse 20. Romans 4, just back. Romans 4, beginning in verse 20, declares that faith glorifies God. Speaking of Abraham here, says in verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now let's look at Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 reveals that faith pleases God and he will reward it. Beginning in verse 6 in Hebrews 11, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now let's go back to Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. Looking at verses 2 and 3 in Isaiah 38, states that faith is expressed in humble and loyal sincerity. Beginning in verse 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. All right, now let's turn back to Ephesians 2, verse 8. One of my favorite scriptures and one that's really should be exciting to all of us here, announces that by grace, through faith, a convicted and repentant sinner is saved. It says here in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That should make us all feel pretty good, that this is a gift of God, not something we earn. Now in Ephesians 3:16 through 19, Ephesians 3:16 through 19 affirms that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. So Ephesians 3:16, breaking into the thought here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now let's look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. It proclaims that we live by faith. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. That is a very short one. Confirms that we walk by faith. Says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Very simple. Now let's look at 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8 through 11. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Shows that we can successfully resist Satan by faith. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now let's look at Acts 26:18. Acts 26:18. Beginning in verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now let's look at Ephesians 3, verses 11 through 12. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 11 through 12. Insists that by faith we have boldness to access God. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Now let's look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy 6, 12. First Timothy 6 explains that faith sustains us to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now let's look at 1 John 5:4-5. 1 John 4-5 demonstrates that we can overcome the world by faith. Beginning in verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The overall lesson of Enoch's life is that, as important as it is, justification is merely a beginning. It is another thing altogether to continue living by faith. The sanctification period and the cost of being a living sacrifice to God drive human nature to devise theological lies like the eternal security doctrine, also known as once saved, always saved. Enoch literally lived a life in which the central issue, its driving force, was his faith in God. Looking at this entirely spiritually, a truth that is important to humility emerges. Just as Enoch's physical translation from one geographical area to another was supernatural, so was his spiritual translation from a carnal, earthly, self-centered person to a God, Christ, Kingdom of God-centered person. The Bible shows that the heart is the source of our motivations. For our hearts to function by faith, we need what God makes possible only through His calling. Our hearts must change. The Bible refers to this as circumcision made without hands. Living by faith is what pleases God. However, we can have that faith only when God supernaturally translates us into the beginning stages of His realm of living, called in the Bible, eternal life. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, brethren, and be careful, and we'll see you next week. Have a great Sabbath.